KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello, I'm Jonna Giraldo. Thank you for tuning in to Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
I'm Octavio Murillo. Today on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, we're talking food, food memories, nutritious food, and growing food.
And I'm Kevin Hernandez. After we work up an appetite, we'll head over to Bulldog Bowl, Fresno State's bowling alley, to see what's new and different.
Food is something we all have in common. We use food to celebrate, commemorate, and commerciate. This week on Fresno State Focus, we look at food and all the different ways we enjoy it. What's your favorite food, Jonna?
My favorite food would have to be pork buns sold at Bakery Delights. It's a local Chinese bakery here in Fresno. What about you, Octavio?
I'd have to say Mexican hat to keep it in the culture, probably tacos, enchiladas, stuff like that.
No, I agree. I love a good carne asada or some fries, any of all that. That just sounds really good to me.
Cheerios, goldfish, cookies. All foods that you might remember eating when you were just a kid. We still eat them from time to time, and the taste brings us back. I talked with people in Fresno about their favorite childhood food and what it means to them.
Snacks were the highlight of any child's playtime. When mom or dad would offer bags of crackers or chips, kids would go ecstatic. For 19-year-old Jessalyn Marie Serafin, her favorite childhood food was a bit more exclusive. Canadian poutine.
I guess it's my favorite because, I'm from Canada and you can't find poutine here. You can't find all the ingredients, or I guess you can find the ingredients, but it's not the same. So it's not authentic. So poutine is basically fries with gravy on top and then cheese. But typically it's like Montreal cheese, so it has like a distinct taste and texture. So the texture is like, usually if it comes in a cube, it's like really chewy.
You can find these ingredients in the U.S., but Serafin said it's hard to replicate the flavor of true Canadian poutine.
I mean, you can't get Montreal cheese except from Montreal, which is in Canada. But anyways, yeah, like that's something I miss when I'm like not in Canada. So like that's the first thing I go to when I'm at Canada. Like, okay, where's the poutine, guys?
70-year-old Peggy Weaver said her favorite childhood food was her grandmother's coleslaw.
It just seemed like on Sundays, whenever we would have roast beef, she would make it. And it had pomegranates in it, fresh pomegranate seeds. And of course it was vinegary because we were Germans. So it was always, they used a lot of vinegar.
Weaver said it's been quite a few years since she had this coleslaw, but it still always reminds her of her childhood memories.
Because it was usually like a Sunday dinner thing. And I think that's one of the, you know, the memories that it evokes, because we always, the whole family would get together for Sunday dinner after church.
Childhood foods always bring us back. What food do you remember the most, Kevin?
I'd have to say that, you know, maybe like chips and a sandwich, like right after you get out of the pool on a hot summer day, that's always the best thing to get when you're a kid. Getting kids to eat healthy can be difficult. Christina Ledesma talks to mothers and a dietitian about tips and tricks to get kids to eat well.
Getting your kids to eat healthy can be a struggle. Trust me, I know. And if you're a mom, it's easy to feel the guilt of wondering if your child is getting enough nutrients. A mother of four has learned that making small adjustments can make a big difference.
I believe by making just simple changes, using real ingredients like butter instead of vegetable oil, use avocado oil. Instead of noodles, use spaghetti squash.
It's important to know that each child is different in the sense that just because they don't like one thing doesn't mean that they won't like something else. One thing that my son enjoys is popsicles, and instead of buying them, I'll make them with him. I'll use coconut water and I let him put the fruits in, and he gets super excited to eat them and always, always asks for them. Making food time fun is important for children. A lot of fruits and veggies are bright and colorful. Betsy Garcia talks about how her mom used to get her to eat healthy as a kid.
Well, she would always make smoothies and juices, and she would always incorporate some sort of green vegetable that would make the drink look unappealing.
Making food look appealing can easily make a difference. It's also important to not get frustrated with your child if they don't enjoy something. Just remember, it's trial and error to figure out what your child likes and doesn't like. Christina Ledesma, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
For many people, eating healthy food is a struggle. Knowing what makes food healthy is a step in the right direction toward changing your habits. I talked with Erica Ireland, a dietetic internship director at the Department of Food, Science, and Nutrition here at Fresno State. She has valuable information about food that we might not already know. Erica Ireland explains what calorie and nutrient density is and tells us the two different types of nutrients found in food.
Something that's calorie dense is going to provide all the calories, but may not necessarily have the nutrients. And when we talk about nutrients, there are what we call macronutrients and then some things called micronutrients. So the macronutrients are carbohydrate, protein, and fat. So those are the macros. And then the micros would be more like our vitamins and our minerals and water.
Ireland says calorie density and nutrient density equals the calories that our bodies need.
So when we're trying to look at something, is it calorie dense or is it nutrient dense? The calorie dense just could provide enough calories, but not necessarily the nutrients that the body needs isn't as plentiful.
Ireland also mentioned that consuming antioxidants can help eliminate free radicals that may develop in the body due to physical activity. Free radicals are what cause inflammation and may be markers to cancer, according to Ireland.
So what I tell athletes is it's very important that you get antioxidants. So those are food properties. So when we were talking about that nutrient density earlier, that they have lots of antioxidants in them that will then help take out the free radicals in your body. And where the antioxidants are typically found are in fruits and vegetables, and specifically the ones that are very bright in color.
I learned so much from this conversation with Erica Ireland. We talked for almost 30 minutes. She also told me that many students don't know that Fresno State offers free dietitian services at the health center. In the real world, you could pay more than $70 to consult with a dietitian.
Have you made any changes in your diet after talking with Erica?
I think she basically just reassured what I was doing, but she did give me, you know, a lot of information that I didn't know, mainly about like the antioxidants that she talked about with me and the free radicals. I did not know that. And now that, you know, I learned that, I will definitely apply it, you know, to my life.
Starting a garden or even potting a few plants is not as hard as it may seem. As we start to feel the heat in Fresno, now is the best time to plant some herbs or adjust your plants to the new season. Rebecca Colbert spoke with two master gardeners about how to help your plants thrive in the summertime.
Master gardeners are trained by the University of California and dedicate themselves to teaching people about gardening. Terry Fredo, a volunteer master gardener for Garden of the Sun off of McKinley, says the first step is the easiest.
And so first, just sit down and think about, what do you like? Only plant things you like. If you don't like them, you're not going to eat them. And why go to the trouble?
After the preparation is done, all that's left is engaging with the elements. When the summer heat hits, Terry uses DIY tactics to make sure the roots don't burn.
So you want at least a 10-gallon. And if you can do a pot within a pot so that you plant the tomato in the inner pot, put planting mix outside that, then the outer pot, and that insulates it.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says that Fresno has hardpan soil, which can stop the roots and the plants from growing. Lori Williams, another practice gardener, says that gardening in Fresno is all about loosening that obstacle.
I think the backbone of any garden is you need to have a place for compost because you're going to have waste. And instead of just throwing it in the garbage, you know, you can compost it here. And then that can be put back into your garden, and it makes the soil really nice and healthy.
If all else fails, Lori says plants that love the heat are sure to survive in the coming months. Zoning and guidelines for what to plant in the valley are always online.
And then you'll see a lot of drought-tolerant plants in here, the succulents, but also the salvias. And I think in Fresno, salvias and sages are things we really need to start going toward.
Terry says that the reward is worth the effort. Because of her passion for gardening, she's gotten her children to eat healthier without asking them to.
They ate most of the cherry tomatoes before they made it to the house, and they learned to like vegetables. And until I had them helping me in the garden, they did not.
Whether you live in a house or an apartment, gardeners say it's always nice to share your space with a plant friend. Rebecca Colbert, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
Whether you live in a house or an apartment, gardeners say it's always nice to share your space with a plant friend. I used to have like a little succulent. Its name was actually like Fitzgerald. It died on me after a year, but I really like plants in a room, but I'll probably settle with the fake plants.
You know, I absolutely agree. I have the most anti-green thumb ever. I touch a plant, it dies. It's over for it. I just can't. Taking care of it, I cannot be trusted with anything. I'm so sorry.
But I appreciate the people who know how to raise plants.
Yeah, no, those people are awesome.
Fresno State students hosted the Fresno State FFA Field Day earlier this month. There are 25 total contests, and 11 of them are state finals. Celeste Lopes spoke with Field Day volunteer chairman Jasmine Garza about the hard work that goes into planning the various competitions.
So I'm on the Fresno State Field Day Committee. I serve as a volunteer chair with Sydney Sanchez, and she is my junior chair. And what we do is we pretty much coordinate volunteers the day of the event, as well as send out a flyer beforehand, make sure that we have the set number of volunteers we need for the competition. And then the day of, make sure they know what they're supposed to be doing. This year, that's kind of entailed doing Scantrons and showing them how to use that, how to interact with students, and overall, just setting that expectation. Fresno State hosts three competitions. Those are all major state finals for FFA. We start off with the cotton competition, which is in November time. And with that, we only have it's a smaller competition. We have a cotton contest, and then we have the midwinter contest, which happens in January. And again, a smaller contest. And it's only a few schools. We have citrus going on during then and such. And then for April, we have a big competition. So April is, again, a state final for multiple competitions, and some actually aren't. But we have over 11 competitions, 1,900 students coming to Fresno State. So field day starts, it's honestly a year-round process. As soon as one ends, we pick up the next one and we start planning. And we meet every Wednesday. So every Wednesday at 6, that's where the magic's happening. That's where we are planning our meetings and like awards and such. Like my role is, it's kind of, I usually start planning a month out with gathering volunteers, sending out flyers, but things such as awards being shipped needs to happen like maybe months in advance, or certain registration starts a couple months in advance too. So it just kind of depends on our committee. I've really enjoyed being part of the process for student education, student learning, and overall like students experience here at Fresno State. I think one of the most rewarding things is like the day after all the hard work and all the stress that we've had, like just seeing students like have fun and like be really excited about winning their awards and winning their competition.
Field Day is very important to agriculture students like Jasmine Garza and requires a lot of time and hard work to host a competition with 25 contests. This is Celeste Lopes with Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
Now that Field Day is over, Fresno State agriculture students can focus on preparing for their finals as the end of the semester is quickly approaching.
Yesterday was Earth Day, where we celebrate the support and the environmental movement. Our Earth is the only place we have, and keeping it sustainable and green is important. Edith Gomez talked to future teacher Anna Marie Montano to see what she does for our Earth.
Doing little things within my daily routine that can hopefully be consistent routines throughout my whole life. And then it's little things like taking quicker showers or turning off appliances and saving energy or using hydro flasks or going paperless.
As we see, there's a lot of ways that we can contribute and give back to keeping our earth clean. Anna Marie Montano talks about how she was able to make these changes and how it has inspired her to teach her future students about Earth Day.
But I remember when I was younger and we were given this box at school, and it was basically like showing us little ways we can help the environment. And it was saying, it gave us some facts about water waste. And I'm not sure the exact numbers, but I think I looked it up not too long ago, and it was something about like close to 50 gallons of water for 20-minute showers that we waste. Just trying to take like maybe not more than 10 to 15 minutes in the shower help you save a lot on water. I know that plastic is just terrible for the environment. It's not very biodegradable, and I've seen how it can affect like the marine life in the ocean, so I try to do my part.
Although many are aware and do their part in keeping our earth clean, there are people that may not be doing enough or anything at all. I talked to Jose Hernandez about how he feels about Earth Day.
Honestly, I don't think I do enough to maintain a sustainable earth. I tend to waste a lot of things, or for example, like water, I really don't measure the amount of water I consume. Electricity, I sometimes forget and I leave the lights on. And recycling, I don't recycle at all when I could be.
The earth is something that we all have to work together to keep clean and sustainable. But sometimes people just don't put their part, like Jose Hernandez and many others. The reason is simple. They're not aware of the effects it can cause.
Just because, you know, it's not an immediate effect that, you know, it will take on me. Maybe when I think about it, maybe in the long term, it will have a negative impact, especially maybe on my kids when I have kids, you know. they're going to be dealing with the consequences. But as far as me right now, I don't see any short-term consequences.
This is why Earth Day is important. It can help people that are not aware that their future is not the only thing in danger, but maybe right now, if we don't make the changes we need to keep our Earth from being destroyed. It's hard to take action, but it is worth it. Edith Gomez, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition.
Fresno State's very own bowling alley recently opened its doors back to the general public. Now anyone can go and bowl to their heart's content. I'll take you on a trip down the lanes and tell you just what they have to offer.
Located underneath the University Student Union, Bulldog Bowl houses the only place on campus where fun and excitement is only one roll away. From taking down pins on any of the 12 different lanes, to queuing up with a game of pool on any of the 13 billiards tables, there's a variety of things for you to do. I spoke with Bulldog Bowl's manager, Jason Teehee, about what else you can expect.
So basically what we got to offer here is we got bowling and we got billiards, and we actually have some bowling classes. Some people don't realize that, but we offer bowling classes Monday through Thursday, I should say. And we also have a couple club sports that we have here. We got an esports club. We also got a bowling club, and our bowling club actually a few years back actually won a national title.
I also got to speak with the Associate Dean of Student Involvement, Dr. Colin Stewart, and found out how he feels about the reopening.
I'm so excited that the Bulldog Bowl has reopened. We know that students were anxious to get back in here, get back to the billiards, and so I'm just so excited that we finally have it reopened.
Being back open to the public means that there will be more people visiting the area. Bulldog Bowl's student assistant, Haley Reddick, shares how she feels.
It's super exciting being back open for the public. It allows so many more people to come onto campus, and we get to interact with so many more people.
And lastly, Bulldog Bowl hosts a disco night on Friday where the lights come down and the funkiness is turned up.
Bulldog Bowl is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Check it out to see if bowling is something that is up your alley.
Another Fresno State men's basketball season is in the history books. Every year is a memorable one, but the 2021-22 season had the perfect icing on the cake, as Abraham Montaño tells us.
Fresno State men's basketball team had a roller coaster season that went through highs and lows. The Fresno State Bulldogs started hot early in the season.
Yeah, after starting the season 6-0, especially against some good teams and some good competition, we knew that we wanted something big to happen this season.
Wins were all the team knew at the beginning of the season. They were 6-0 up until they faced Cal on Sunday, November 28th at Haas Pavilion.
You need to play as hard as you're capable of playing every single possession. Not when you feel like it, not when coach is yelling at you.
That's when things began to go downhill, and the team was desperate to bounce back. Steven Vasquez is a freshman from Santa Maria. He didn't get a lot of minutes this season, but he had front row seats and seen how the team handled adversity mid-season.
During the couple weeks we struggled, we just knew that once we got back to work, that teams throughout seasons always battle adversity at some point, and we just knew that we had to work together to overcome it. And once we were able to get back into our flow, it just felt like we came back smoother, everyone supported one another, and we were able to come back strong, and we got out of the slump.
Orlando Robinson was not only the biggest guy on the team standing at 7 feet, he was also the most influential and impactful player on the court for the team this year.
Having Orlando on the court honestly helped us out a lot, because he's a guy that could do a lot, especially at his height, around 7 foot, for him to be able to shoot, dribble, pass, play defense.
It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. And the team definitely ended on a high by winning the Basketball Classic. The Bulldogs defeated Eastern Washington, Youngstown State, and Southern Utah on the way to the championship game. Fresno State bested Coastal Carolina 85-74 to become the 2022 Basketball Classic champions. In Fresno, Abraham Montaño, Fresno State Focus Radio Edition.
With Orlando Robinson's future still up in the air, the men's basketball team will now change gears to recruiting future Bulldogs.
And that wraps up our show for this week. I'm Kevin Hernandez.
Fresno State Focus Radio Edition is produced by Professor Faith Sidlow for the Department of Media Communications and Journalism. Our stories and interviews were produced and edited by Celeste Lopes, Christina Ledesma, Edith Gomez, Octavio Murillo, Rebecca Colbert, Kevin Hernandez, Abraham Montaño, and me, Jonna Giraldo.
Mark Anthony Lopez edited our show, and our engineer is Kevin Hernandez. This program is produced in collaboration with 90.7 KFSR. For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Octavio Murillo.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.